You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and we got a special episode tonight because, of course, it's me, features editor John Jeteri. I'm also here with co-head editor or whatever her title is these days, and more. And more, what's happening?
Hey, I'm back. I'm back and better than ever.
Em is back and better than ever. And that's kind of shocking to me because I wouldn't have think that Em could get any better. But here we are. She's even better than before. New and improved. And also, we're here with a special guest. We are here with Brandon of Revilla Grooves Records. Well, Brandon S, as opposed to Brandon V, as opposed to Darren V. No, Darren R, rather.
Yeah,
there's Brandon S, there's Brandon R, and there's Darren R. Of Revilla Grooves Records. I'm just going to talk a little bit. Darren's been on the show. I mean, Brandon's been on the show before. I'm just going to tell the listeners a little bit about Revilla Grooves Records. Revilla Grooves Records, one of the top five record stores in the USA. On some days, the top one record store in the USA. Fantastic record store. Tons and tons of awesome used stuff. Tons and tons of awesome new stuff. They are in, I guess, are you guys Northern Jersey or Central Jersey? What, Milltown, New Jersey. What's it that?
I would say Central Jersey, yeah.
See, yeah, like
over by like New Brunswick, Edison, East Brunswick, that kind of, yeah, more central for sure.
Revilla Grooves is at 126 North Main Street, Milltown, New Jersey. It's awesome. They've been there, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 years now. It's definitely one of my favorite record stores. And twice per year they have the dollar record store, the dollar sale, which is out back, and they have literally hundreds of thousands of records for a dollar each. And there's some, you know, cool stuff in there. Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen. There's some stuff you never heard of. There's some dance 12-inch singles for a buck. There's some reggae 12-inch singles for a buck. And there's also some gold in there. It is – actually, I will say this confidently and directly. The Revilla Grooves $1 sale is the best record sale in North America. But also, the store itself is just literally one of the best stores. And also, it's run by Brandon and Darren and the other Brandon. And they're all real cool. And they just expanded. I'm going to let Brandon talk in a second. But I'm trying to not gush too much. But I freaking love Revilla Grooves Records. They also have turntables and stuff. And now they've got a performance space, like a legit like venue in the record store as well. And it's totally rad. Brandon, thanks for coming on the show again, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
How about this, people? 305 Google reviews, 4.8 average out of 5, M. What do you think of that?
Ooh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, we try with that.
Brandon, what exactly is your title? Like, are you like a big dog there? Or are you? I feel like you're a big dog there. Are you a big dog there?
I mean, it's definitely Darren's the biggest dog. I could say that. He's the owner. And then his brother Brandon and I, we both kind of manage the store. So we're both managers in our own area. So where we all know something, we kind of overlap. And then usually I handle like a lot of the booking of the events, and then the new vinyl and the new releases. And Brandon helps also with sound and production management for the events, and also he does all the gear stuff.
Brandon, you've got a cohort there with you. Who's your cohort?
Oh yeah, this is a new employee of ours. She's been here for a little while. This is Maddie. She wanted to sit in and see.
Maddie, what's Brandon? See, I know Brandon on the show booking side of thing, and as the person spending lots of money there side of things. What's Brandon like as one of the big chiefy weefies over at Revilla Grooves? What's your take on Brandon?
He's great. He's like my best friend. He's great. He just bought me a pizza a few minutes ago.
Yes, I treated to dinner tonight.
Yes. He definitely takes care, and he does his job super well. Record Store Day is awesome. That's all him. Yeah, he does his job and more. He goes above and beyond every day, and he's super fun too. Like, he's not an annoying boss. You're fun to work with. He's fun to work
Thank
with.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Brandon,
I'm
yeah. Brandon, here's the first question, Brandon. Not the first question. I feel like working in a record store is basically like the most fun job ever. Is it the most fun job ever, or is it not the most fun job ever?
No, I mean, it's great. I do love what I do. That's why I've been doing it for so long, and I plan to hopefully keep doing it. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, every job's not without its you know, its issues. But yeah, it's a lot easier to deal with the retail environment and even like the bad parts of the job, just because we're surrounded by music and everything all the time.
And the listeners probably remember we've Revilla and Punk News through a Joe Jack Talk and Mikey Erg show there once, and it was a really cool show. And now they've got like a big stage in the back now. And I guess in February or so, they had a super awesome show. It was Lenny Kaye with, I forget his name, one of the other members of the Patti Smith group. And they also had
Kenny Shanahan, yeah.
And they also had like a doo-wop group open, and it was like a really cool, like it was crazy to see Lenny K in like the small event. He did some songs from Nuggets. He did a couple of Patti Smith songs. Like that was a really, really cool evening. Is that like one of the highlights of like the live shows there, or what are some of the highlights?
Definitely so far. That Lenny K show was great. That was our tribute to the a friend of the stores and a big person in the record collection scene, that Greg Zurich, the 45 collection. I'm sure you've heard us talk about that a lot. That collection is incredible and really helped us with the expansion and getting the stage and getting the event. So when we got everything finalized and everything set, one of the big things we wanted to do was a tribute to Greg, who was super into vocal groups and all that. So we had a vocal group open up, and then friends Lenny and Tony did a set. And yeah, Lenny doing the Nugget stuff, that was awesome to see. That was great.
Yeah, it was totally cool. One of the crazy things about Revilla is, I'm trying not to make this a commercial, but like I'm always talking about El Cortez in Los Angeles. Yeah. I'm always talking about El Cortez just because I love it. I love Revilla Groove's record. It's awesome. On the wall, they always have crazy, crazy, cool and rare stuff. I got a Ween, God Ween Satan there off the wall. I got Slayer, Rain and Blood. I got a first press of Suicidal Tendencies off the wall there. I got a couple other like crazy like grails from my collection. How do you guys like get all these crazy, crazy records, you know, especially in Middletown, New Jersey, you know?
It's really, I mean, it's word of mouth. People just, they hear about us if they have a good collection and they want it to go to hands that they can trust. A lot of times they bring it to us. People find us on Google, online. Darren works like crazy. So if there's a collection, that's great. It doesn't matter where it's at. You know, he's going to go out and he's going to dig and he's going to look and he's going to find those stuff that we could put on the wall and bring to people and bring it to a good home. So he's always out there searching and people are coming to us. We're taking collections probably, if not every day, then every other day.
Well, not only do they have like cool stuff like Clash or Talking Heads, but they have like rare stuff. And I think back to all the things that I passed over that like Henry Rollins says, you don't regret the record you buy, only the one you don't buy. And you guys had, there's like this rare German only Judas Priest 3-album set. And I wish I'd bought it. Like, anyways,
yeah,
it, they're awesome. So you know, I've been known to sell records from time to time. And a little while ago, I was selling records. And on my left, I had The Count. And if you're on the East Coast and you sell records, you know The Count. The Count is this guy. He's an older guy that he used to be in a band called the Down Children, I think was the name of the band. And he wears MC Hammer pants and he drives around in a Rascal scooter. And he's got this box and he's always trying to sell people records. And I vacillate between, you know, being amused by him and hating his guts because he drives around with these records and he's like, do you want to buy some records? Meanwhile, he always tries to beat you down like horribly on records. And there's this other guy called Eric. Brandy, do you know Eric? Maybe you don't, or maybe you do.
I think I know The Count. I know who you're talking about. I don't know if I know Eric.
So I'm selling records one day. The Count is on my left-hand side. Eric's on my right-hand side. Eric is trying to get, like, Black Sabbath records for me for, like, $6. The Count is trying to sell me a $75 Fleetwood Mac record that's worth, like, $12. And I was having kind of a bad day. I almost jumped across the table and strangled both of them, The Count with my left hand and Eric with my right. And I realized it's not a good look to strangle a guy in a wheelchair, but at that point, like, I think I wouldn't have regretted it. Brandon, Punishers, how do you deal with them?
It's a tough question.
See, that has to be political, because you have to be like the friendly record store guy, you know what I mean? Like, you can't be like, I hate those assholes, but
well, deep down, I mean, it's a mix of both, you know. I mean, as long as they're respectful, I'll be respectful back, but like, you know, if you're coming in and you're buying, just consistently buying our, you know, appropriately priced copy of Dark Side of the Moon and taking it somewhere and selling it to someone for like, you know, 40, 50 bucks who doesn't know any better. You know, I don't stand behind that, and I hate when people do that. But you know, as long as there's like some kind of mutual respect, I guess that's how I respond to that.
Maddie, what's the coolest record you've gotten at Revilla Groove's Records?
Oh my god, I'm not sure. I've gotten a lot of cool stuff. I don't. I'm always buying something, unfortunately. That's kind of comes, I mean, fortunately for me, but kind of unfortunately at the same time, because I just waste my money here. It's great. Not waste, of course, but I can say the coolest thing I've seen come in was there was a, I think it was, you know, it was a UK first press of Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness by this.
Oh.
Was really, it was here for a little bit, and I was just here on one of my off days, just chatting or shopping or something, and so I saw some guy pick it up for like $700. Yeah, that was a really cool one I've seen come in. But yeah, it's always cool to get the new stuff. I'm really into a lot of newer things, but it's
Like
always nice
what are you into?
mix it up. Really, I mean, I'm a big Phoebe Bridgers fan. Anything in that, you know, Lucy Dacus, Boy Genius, all of them, and they all just released new music recently, so, or most of them at least. So really just getting those, like new stuff like that.
The band Mama,
Yes, Mama.
they put out a
They're
new record.
yeah, they put out a new record. Love them, they're really awesome. Bristen Maroney just put out a new record that I got. I have a ton of like random, you know, One Direction stuff in my locker, but I also have some Paul Simon in there. So I really mix it up. It really just kind of depends what catches my eye that day and what the bank account is saying, really.
Brandon, all the young people are really into Steely Dan right now. I can't go to a record store without young people walking in asking for Steely Dan. Steely Dan is the worst band to ever exist. I mean, they are terrible. I actually listened to Steely Dan again yesterday. I'm like, maybe there's something I'm missing. Like the 19th time I've listened to Steely Dan, I'm like, maybe there's something there. Steely Dan is such a bullshit band. I mean, they are terrible, terrible. Brandon, why are all the young people into Steely Dan? Maddie, do you like Steely Dan? Admit it.
Not really, not particularly, to be honest.
Yeah, I have the thing with Steely Dan. It's a running joke here. I'm always just like, yeah, that's just one of the one band, few bands around here that like everyone's so appreciative of. And I was always just like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I just never got it. And we do those, you know, I work down in Asbury too at a venue, and we do those like yacht rock reviews and stuff. And it's just like, and Steely Dan goes over like crazy. This it's a sold out crowd, you know, kids probably like anywhere from like 18 to 24, and they love it.
So you're saying Darren Revilla, he likes Steely Dan?
I can speak for the fact that I know Brandon likes Steely Dan. I know there's a
Mm.
lot of conversation about Michael McDonald that goes on around here. That's for sure.
Michael McDonald's in Steely Dan? I didn't know that. I thought Michael McDonald was in Moody Blues or something. Shows what I know. Anyways, both terrible bands. Brandon, what's the best thing that you've got at Revilla Groove's Records?
That's it. I mean, again, it's a tough one.
What if he's like Steely Dan Asia, first press?
Right. I actually had somebody call the other day, and they saw in our flip video a copy of Asia, and they called to hold that, and that's one of the things where like if you just dig in any bin in any record store, you'll probably find that, and it was just shocking to me. I was like, am I really gonna? I'm holding this Steely Dan record for this guy right
Dude,
now.
the young people love Steely Dan. Like they love Steely Dan. And I'm like, man. Wow, it's so boring. You know, it's like I remember when that band, the not the Weathernears or whatever, well, the Lumineers, like when that first became popular, Auburn Paul, the publisher of Punk News, was like, this generation is revolting against their parents by listening to music that is way more boring and way more quiet than what their parents listen to. I feel like that's Steely Dan. Anyway, Dan, I mean Brandon, Steel, what's the best thing you've gotten at Revilla Groove Records?
I mean, definitely one of my favorite things I've gotten is, I might have mentioned this last time. It's always number one of my grails that I found here. It was the copy. It was like mint copy of Adios Amigos by Ramones. You know,
Oh,
yes.
now
Yeah,
that's a find.
yeah
That's a find.
that one came. I you know, it was pricey, but that one. So I left it on the wall for the weekend, and I kind of did that. Well, if it's here on Monday when I come in, then it's coming home with me. I came in on Monday, it was still there. I left it for the entire shift Monday, and then no one took it, so I took it home with me. So
That's
that's
cool.
there is
Honestly.
right now there is a sealed copy of Pink Floyd's Metal on the wall, which is unheard of.
See, you know, I'm not. I mean, I realize there's some people are, I'm not that. Like, I've got a couple sealed records and I kind of want to sell them, keep the cash, and then buy an open copy so I can play it. I'm not that into sealed records. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really do that much either. If it's like a, you know, I'm almost always buying to open. So even if I buy an older sealed something, if you know, especially if it's not crazy expensive, and I'm probably gonna open it. You know, I'll take care of it. I'll resleeve, you know, put a new sleeve on it, that kind of thing. So the record's gonna be cared for. You know, I want to be able to listen to it at any point. You know,
I do have one sealed record that I do like having a sealed record that I will never open. Well, I shouldn't say never. Most likely never. I've got an original press sealed first press of Alice Cooper's Pretty's For You, the first record with the censored sticker on the cover, which was kind of cool to come across. Yeah. A couple last questions about Real Grooves records. Brandon and Maddie, test presses, cool or you're kind of over it?
You know, I've definitely seen the interest in them kind of slide for sure. You know, I think they're cool. If it's a band that I love, I'm always going to appreciate it, you know. But yeah, I mean, we've definitely have, you know, there's actually a few test pressings on the wall right now that have been sitting there for a little
while.
What
do you got?
There was a couple Thursday test presses, which are cool. You know, they put out the new song recently. I think there was a test press for that. There was a lot of local emo post-hardcore stuff that we got this collection that was, you know, test presses and a lot of signed stuff like that. So that was cool. But, you know, They're not all that expensive, but they've been sitting. So I feel like the interest in test presses have kind of waned. But you start going for like older stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool to come across.
See, for me, when you first get test press, you're like, wow, that's neat. And then you kind of realize, well, they're actually maybe not as rare as you think they are. But now I'm like way back in the test presses. I actually recently got a double LP test press of Judas Priest, Sad Wings of Destiny. And what it is, it's a 2 LP audiophile version, which was never released because the company that was putting it out went bankrupt between the test press and the official press.
Yeah,
so it's the only audio file of Judas Priest's Sad Wings of Destiny, which is kind of cool. Matty, test presses, do you like them or do you want the regular?
I feel like if it's a band that I like really know or I'm really into, I would be so into buying a test pressing. Like the first thing that I think of when I come to test pressing is here. I think it was a test pressing single of Nirvana, of Come As You Are.
Oh!
It wasn't all that expensive, and I picked it up. I picked one of those up, at least.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I've seen a few of them. But yeah, I think they're cool. As I was saying with the newer stuff, I know not a lot of artists are like really releasing stuff like that anymore. Tyler, the Creator, Chromacopia is the one that I think of first, and it's kind of annoying me just because I want there to be a real, like, you know, like, yeah, with the artwork and everything.
He only released the one version of that, yeah, and it was website exclusive, yeah, so they were calling it like the test press version.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was actually a test press. I'm not too sure. It sold out quick, but that was like the only way you can get Tyler's new record is that way.
Yeah.
Here's actually a question I have, and you guys might have an insight on this. So like Odd Future, like Frank Ocean, Earl Sweatshirt, Tyler, a lot of their records aren't even available as a record. They're only digital, when it seems to me like those would be like, they'd make a lot of money because like the kids are way in the Odd Future right now. Another example would be The Garden, who they'll put out like 300 copies and they won't even announce it and it'll be sold out and they won't repress it. Like, is that just poor management, or is the thing these days to like way underpress a record? And you don't even care about selling records. It's the way you keep the hype interest in a band up. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like,
I would say there's probably a small mix of that. Especially when like the Garden is kind of, they have this huge following, but like, I feel like when I wouldn't say it's poor management. It's just more so that the industry and then the record plants, they get so backed up that only certain bands can get in and it costs a lot of money. So now it's almost cheaper and easier to just do that one quick run and then mm-hmm. test the waters. And now that's kind of like, okay, cool, we know it'll sell. So maybe like for the 5th anniversary, we'll do a full repackaging, you know, something nice, some demos, some alternate takes, something like that. Or maybe even if it's just never been in print for like an anniversary, they might be waiting to do like a 10-year kind of thing. I know Cherry Bomb, Tyler, the Creator, I don't know if that never had an official press or not. But they're finally putting that out on vinyl. So that's going to be a big thing. So, but yeah, I don't know if it's, especially with Odd Future, with getting the rights to everyone on board, because it's so many different people and so many different people that have grown on to become so much bigger stars and all that. So I think it's a mix of trying to keep the hype, but also, you know, it's, you know, people are afraid to take the risk with physical or pressing a lot unless they absolutely know, like, you know, these records will sell by the mass.
What cool shows does Revilla Grooves Records have in stock or coming up?
Well, we have a band called Cathedral Ceilings. They're playing this weekend on Saturday. Then on Monday, there's a tour coming through Pino's that night. It's Former Critics and Anti-Ghost, and they're both going to be doing an acoustic set during the day here prior to their set, full band set, Electric at Pino's on Monday. So those are the two ones we have coming up, so, like, recently.
Third to last question. You guys are exactly 50 minutes from Lodi, New Jersey, the hometown of Glenn Danzig. Why do you think Glenn refuses to repress Sam Hain and Danzig records and even Misfits records? That seems like, but he hates bootlegs. Like, there's a million bootlegs going around, and he hates bootlegs, which I agree with. I hate bootlegs myself. So why not repress those records and get money and the fans get what they want? What's the holdup, Brandon? You tell us.
It's got to be something with rights or, you know, material that he doesn't want to reissue or revisit, or, you know, he's going to want more money than somebody. I feel like it's all going to be behind the scenes, like, political stuff with like the just paperwork and contracts and rights and all that. This stuff gets so muddy and so difficult to kind of trudge through, especially with something like the Misfits and their history and their music and all that. So it's probably just too much. He's probably just doesn't want to put the energy in to get it all done and do it right, you know?
Revilla Grooves, owned by Darren Revilla. Actually, the cool thing about Darren is back in the day in the 90s, like, record store owners were, like, always assholes. They were, like, they wouldn't want you to be there even though you're trying to spend money. Darren is the opposite. Super nice guy, knows his records backwards and forwards, has a great job. Darren, as nice as he seems, or an angry man with a nice facade just waiting to explode?
I mean, Darren is 100% genuine. Everything you see with him is what you get. And even if he's, like, you know, annoyed or in a bad mood or doesn't want to deal with it, you know, he's not going to be a dick, but he'll let you know. Like, he's just honest and sincere in that way. So, like, all that kindness and what he puts out there, that's all genuine. I mean, I tell everyone when they bring us their records, like, you're always in good hands. Mm-hmm. Darren's always looking to kind of make everyone happy and do right by everybody. So, you know, we're not trying to rip anyone off on records. We want to pay them what they're worth. And, you know, we want to get good stuff and clean stuff and, you know, stand behind everything that we say, that we do, that we sell. So, and Darren sets a great example for that.
And I should have mentioned this off the bat. Revilla Grooves Records, yet again, one of the sponsors for Summer Soiree 8, because Summer Soiree 8 is July 31 in Philly at Philomoka. The Dwarves celebrating Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows, their new release, plus legendary rapper Schooly D is going to be there, literally the first gangster rapper. We're going to have exclusive records that you can only get at the show. That is not exclusive versions. Exclusive records that you can only get at the show, which is going to be pretty cool. Also, Lips of Coal, which is kind of like Danzig meets Susie Sue's opening. The Noid, which is a Philly punk band, and Pink Soap, which is a grunge band, is opening too. So, Brandon, I truly, truly do appreciate you guys being a sponsor of the show and really helping it make it as cool as it is. So, thank you very much.
We love to be a part of it. It's a great thing.
So once again, and of course, Brandon and Maddie are going to stick around for the news, but Revilla Grooves Records, 126 North Main Street, Milltown, New Jersey. If you are anywhere in the Philly or Central New Jersey or even Southern Jersey area, check them out, man. Like it is an awesome, awesome store. I guess, Brandon, anything else you want the people to know about Revilla Grooves Records or anything else they should be on the lookout for?
I mean, just keep an eye. We are going to totally revamp our website. So that's coming. That's going to be great. If you go to our website now, it's definitely a bit dated. I'm going to say a bit. It's totally dated. You know, the pictures are kind of not what it looks like anymore. And the information is generally pretty accurate. So I think probably June, maybe mid-June, we'll do a hard launch of the website. We're going to be able to sell inventory on there. All of our events will be up to date and accurate. There'll be a whole page for that. There'll be, you know, links to all of our social media, pictures, videos. So I would say definitely keep an eye out for that, because that's going to be a big thing and a big way to stay up to date on all the events. I would say that's the big thing to keep an eye out for right now.
So there you have it. Once again, Revilla Grooves Records, sponsor of Summer Soiree 8 with Dwarves and Schooly D. Thank you to them for that. We're going to give Brandon and Maddie a quick break while we start the news, and we're going to come back around them for their opinion. But CBGB Fest has been announced. The lineup's pretty kicking, man. It's Iggy Pop, Jack White, which is famous for playing CBGBs, Sex Pistols, The Damned, Angel Dust, Cro-Mags, Johnny Marr, Gorilla Miscus, Destroy Boy, Lambrini Girls, Lip Critic, Linda Lindis, Lunatics, Marky Ramone, Scow, Pink Shift, Murphy's Law, The Melvins, Soul Glow, Teen Mortgage, and YHWH Nailgun. I don't know anything about that band. But anyway, it's going to be September 27, Under the Bridge in Brooklyn. I got to say, this lineup looks pretty cool. I mean, even though, like, Jack White isn't really part of CBGB's, I don't care. I mean, the lineup looks pretty rad. Iggy Pop.
He did play.
He played CBGB's?
He played CBGB's with the White Stripes before the venue closed.
Well, shows that I know, then he should be there. So Iggy Pop, CBGB veteran Jack White, Cro-Mags, Damned, Scow, Melvins. It's a pretty rad lineup. I'm pretty psyched for this. And as much as I'm loath to go into Brooklyn, I actually probably will go to this. But the question that I have, first of all, is this festival rad as hell? Does it look cool? Also, who's behind it? Like, what's the entity that's actually organizing it? Am I being taken on for a ride?
I don't know who's actually behind it.
Well, I will look right now while you give us your opinion.
Yeah. So I get the whole point is, like, CBGB's hasn't been, you know, a thing for so long. Oh, did you find out?
No, I'm looking. Go ahead.
Okay. Like, hasn't been a thing for so long, and it feels weird to have a festival kind of named after them, but not there. Like, you know, it's in, obviously, kind of a similar area, but it just feels odd. But I was thinking about it, and it's the lineup's really good. Again, there's lots of people who have played the original venue, and then the way I'm looking at it is all of the newer bands are, like, bands who would have played the venue had it been operational. Because it's like, can you imagine, like, going and seeing Scowl or, like, Lambrini Girls or Pink Shift or something in that, like, small room or whatever? And it's like, that's exactly what you know, it would have felt like to go see, like, Iggy Pop and stuff. And it's like, he's there kind of again. So I think it's an interesting lineup. I think it's an interesting concept, but it feels weird calling it CBGB Fest, you know, just like using this like instantly recognizable venue as marketing, I guess, because I don't think it's affiliated with anything that way. It's just a name. But yeah, this is the first one since 2014. They had a run of it for a couple years and then just kind of stopped doing it. So it's cool, I guess, that it's back. It's nice to see more live music and, again, bringing both kind of sides of it, like the how things were and then how things are, and melding it. I think it's a really cool lineup.
Brandon, what's your take on this?
I agree 100% with what Em said, to be honest. I mean, when I first saw it, you know, of course, the first thing you kind of, like, wince when you see the name CBGB, kind of like you were saying, I was like, why? Yeah. It's the same thing. Like, they just had that whole thing where they put it in the airport and people were kind of making fun of them for that. And, you know, I think in the Newark airport, there's that, like, CBGB store or something.
There is.
Yeah.
I was just there.
Yeah. So, like,
literally, it's just there.
So everyone was like, oh, you put it in an airport. So it was always this, like, kind of like weirdness about using the name CBGB and if it's going to be used for the right thing. So, you know, that was my first knee-jerk kind of reaction. But I mean, then I, you know, the lineup, it's bands we all love. I mean, Scow's awesome. Pink Shift is great. Iggy's, you know, obviously a legend. I personally love Jack White and I love seeing his shows. I think he's a great performer and I love the White Stripes. So that's just an excuse to see him too. So, you know, I never want to poo-poo on live music. You know, it's great to, like, see all these bands playing and getting together and having a spot to kind of have an outlet for all that music and art and stuff. But yeah, the CBGB thing, I maybe wish it was called something different.
Well, I have determined who's behind the scenes.
And who's that?
The event, so CBGB, the trademark, is owned by something called Epic Brands or something. We can actually look up to see maybe who that is later. But it's being run by Bowery Presents, which of course is AEG, who of course runs Coachella and all those big Las Vegas festivals. So this is them kind of doing the mega Las Vegas festival on the East Coast. Historically, these kind of things have been more challenging on the East Coast because whereas Las Vegas wants events there, in the East Coast, everyone's got to get a piece of the pie. I will say this event is cool and I probably will go, but it is a bummer that it's like yet again, Golden Voice / AEG is behind it and they're kind of being secretive about it, you know?
Yeah, it's based on punk thing, and you know, if you want to start claiming that's like how can you, yeah, the whole punk and then AEG, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't mix too well, so it gets
Well,
weird when it starts to.
that is true, because Ann Schultz has like is like anti-gay and anti this and anti that, which is not punk at all. And it is weird that he's chosen to make money in that arena. Isn't that weird? Like, that's weird. You know what I mean?
I always thought that was strange.
Of all the places you can make money, it's like, no, punk is where I'm going to make money. Like, that's weird, you know? Anyways, still, it's kind of a cool festival. Maybe I'll
Of
sneak
course, yeah.
in. But here's where I'm not going to sneak in. Here is where I'm going to pay my hard-earned dollar to get in, because this is rad as hell. Melvins and Red Cross are going on tour. I just saw them literally a week ago. I got a small funny story about that. And they're going to be coming back around to the East Coast in about 4 months again, which is totally rad. They're playing East Coast and West Coast and everywhere. They're playing like three shows within driving distance of my house. I'll probably go to two or three. Asbury Park, Bethlehem, and Lancaster. I just saw them 3 or 4 days ago, and it was the four member lineup. Buzz on guitar. Why am I blank on Steven on bass, Dale on drums, and Cody Willis on drums. So the two drummer lineup, and they didn't do any like super surprising songs, but they were just, it was them and Napalm Death, and Melvins were just totally on fire, and they sounded awesome. I'm psyched to see him with Red Cross, because of course Steve is also Red Cross. But here's my quick little funny Melvins story. So I took my 17-year-old cousin to see the Melvins, and you know, he's a young guy, so he's like moshing around and stuff, and the Melvins had like a pretty active mosh pit, but it was a cool mosh pit. Like, it wasn't like a crowd club mosh pit. It was kind of circle pit. And so my cousin is like moshing around, and there's a guy in a wheelchair smoking a huge doob, and he's like mowing people over, and it's pretty hilarious. Like, you see this guy in a wheelchair like moshing, and I saw it myself. My cousin was not even moshing past him, going past him, like sort of being respectful, I guess. And the dude just smashes my cousin in the face. And my cousin goes over to me. He's like, "John, the dude in the wheelchair punched me in the face." And I'm like, "I think you just got to take an L on that one, man. Like, I don't think you can go back and hit the guy in the wheelchair and you know, come off looking good." M, your 17-year-old cousin gets punched in the face by the guy in the wheelchair. What do you do?
It happens, man. It happens.
Maddie, what do you do when your 17-year-old cousin gets punched in the face by the guy in the wheelchair in the Melvins pit?
I think in this scenario, I would be the 17-year-old cousin.
So what do you do? Maddie, you're moshing, you get punched in the face by a guy in a wheelchair. And it's not like you bump into his wheelchair and maybe it's somewhat like deserved. Like, you're literally just walking past him and you just reach around and pop right in the face. What do you do?
I probably wouldn't want him to feel awful, so I'd probably just walk away, pretend that I'd go to the bathroom or something. Maybe, you know, it would hurt, I bet, but you know, something to laugh about later for sure.
Just walk it off.
Yeah, really, that's kind of what I would do. Just be like, well, damn, that kind of sucks, but there's nothing I can do about it now. What am I gonna do? Punch the guy back? Absolutely not. No way.
I would just steal his dude.
Yeah.
That's the answer. That's that's the answer. Brandon, are you a Melvins guy or not really?
Yeah, I like the Melvins. Yeah, I've actually never seen the Melvins, so that's why when they announced this tour with Red Cross, I was like, yeah, right at the Stone Pony, that's probably a pretty sick time to finally get over and see them.
I've seen him 25 times, Brandon. Just FYI. I've seen him
Absolutely.
25 times.
25.
Brandon, what's the band you've seen the most?
I used to know it off the top of my head. It would easily, there's three bands probably be either be Thursday, Motion City Soundtrack, or the Front Bottoms. Yeah.
And tell us about Frankie and the Wishfingers, what I think about the Melvins and how good they are.
Yes. Frankie and the Witchfingers are based out of LA, and they do really cool stuff with punk. They have some sort of like psychedelic influences. They have some like post-punk kind of vibe, and like there's a hint of like surf on some of their stuff, which is really fun. They're a very like visually, like the way they market themselves that way is really cool, because they have like really bright colors. And their most recent single is Dead Silence, which has a video for it, which is also extremely bright colors. And it's like there's all of these like filters and stuff put all over like the band performing and different videos and like all sorts of different stuff. And it again really, it's like those Magic Eye posters kind of thing, but like really blown up. It looks really cool, very kind of like surreal and stuff. I couldn't watch, like, I had to watch the video in installments because it hurt my eyes, but in a good way. Really like the song, and it's off their upcoming album, Trash Classic, which will be out in, I think, next month. So yeah, I hadn't heard of the band, and I think I found them on social media, and I was like, oh, they look cool. Let's see what their sound is, and their sound was really good. So I'm very excited about this. Yeah, what's everyone's thoughts on Frankie and the Witchfingers? Also, it's a cool band name.
Yeah, no, I mean, they actually sent us some of yourself where they sent us these little posters to give out. If you pre-ordered the record through us, you got a flexi disc of the single. So that was
Oh,
pretty
that's so
cool. Yeah,
cool.
so we have these posters up around the store. Yeah, June 6th, the new record's out. But yeah, I think we still have a copy
Yeah.
too of the flexi available. But yeah, no, they've been a lot of fun. I've been checking them out since they sent us this promo to do and everything.
That's so
Brandon,
cool.
what's your opinion of flexi discs? Do you love them or do you hate them?
I have a few. They're cool. Like this band, that band, the Uncluded, which is Aesop Rock and Kimya Dawson, a little project they did. They only released like a handful of vinyl, and one of them was a flexi disc. So I have one of those. I thought that was really cool, just to kind of complete the collection. They do sound like crap, but they're fun to have. I
They're
know.
cool.
Yeah. I mean, Pup put out. I think they put out a comic. And it came with a flexi disc, and then Waxworks Records did that a couple times. So those are cool to have. I always, with, like, again, with like the bands that I like Pup, it's cool to have that, but you don't really utilize them too much.
I get that back in the day they would make flexi discs because they were like cheap, and like sometimes you would go to McDonald's, they give you like a flexi disc and stuff, and it'd be like a McDonald's advertisement or something. But now that flexi discs are really not that much cheaper than 7 inches, my opinion is like, why? I mean, I'd rather just have a 7 inch than a flexi disc.
Yeah.
But plus, they're hard to play and they get destroyed when you play them. But that being said, it is cool when they're free giveaway promos. Speaking of 7 inches, here's one that's trippy. The Ataris are putting out a new 7 inch. The new 7 inch is called Car Song. And in the record itself are the human ash remains of one of the members' fathers. And I kind of want to buy one. I mean, I don't really know a whole lot about the Ataris, frankly, but I kind of want to buy one because this is such a unique record. And I think this is the first time this has ever been done. M Moore, cool and interesting way to be made eternal, or creepy thing to do.
I do know there is something out there where you can be cremated and press your ashes into like a vinyl with all of your kind of favorite songs on it or whatever. If that's what one of my friends wants to do. like she figured it out that it actually works and they actually like play and whatever, and it's like, oh my God, that's wild. With this, I don't know, like it's nice because the money from it goes towards like nonprofits to help with alcoholism and stuff. So that's really nice, but it just feels weird to be like, hey, here's
Here's
my
my dead dad.
father. Yeah, do you want some of
Here's my
him?
dad.
Like here. It's nice that they're like, oh, well, he was such a big fan of our band and we chose to immortalize him this way. I think that's sweet, but it's also like, what did he actually say? Because when not to get morbid or whatever, when people die, it's like you have to respect their wishes, and you don't want to go against something and like kind of say, oh, they'd say this was totally fine, and then it's like completely spitting in their image or very disrespectful. So I don't know where this lands with that, but it seems odd.
What if he said, no matter what, don't cremate me and put me in a record? Make sure that doesn't happen. I love like these weird one-off records that are like totally weird and strange. I've got some that are like Liquid Field. I've got an Integrity record that's got like liquid in it. I've got a Sloppy Seconds record that has sand in it. I've got of course there's the Feeders record that's got sandpaper on the cover. But I just think it's a really cool, clever, kind of neat thing to do. Apparently each record costs $40 to produce and they're selling them for 50. And my only statement is, well, if they cost 40 to produce, then maybe sell them for like 80. You like make it worthwhile, so Brandon, what do you think of this? Is this fun and cool? Would you collect this, or do you get the ick?
Yeah, I mean, no, I definitely thought about getting one when I saw it, because they have an album called So Long Astoria that I liked a lot when it came out. So I was like, when I saw this, I was like, ah, oh, this is cool. It's like you said, it was a way to kind of immortalize him. I do think it's weird if like I were to own his ashes. You know, that kind of is a little strange just because it's like I don't know this guy kind of thing. And now here he is on my record player. So that's it is a little weird when I think about listening to it. But I think it's cool. And like M said, as long as there was approval or that was the father's idea, then more power
It's
to
done the
you.
right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of weird to say, oh, I want this just because it's got this dead guy. I mean, I actually still might get one. But it's like, oh, I want this record because it's got this dead guy in there. Not because I'm trying to honor his wishes, but because I find this thing to be weird.
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's not weird, but maybe a little confusing. Circle Jerks are going on the 45th anniversary tour of the seminal Group Sex album. And actually, as a side note, the word seminal is used a lot. Look into the derivation of that word, and it's way weirder than you might think it is. Like a strange word to use for that context. Just look into that. And more, do you know the derivation of seminal?
I do know the derivation of
It's
seminal.
kind of weird, really, right? Like kind of totally weird.
People who made up language had a lot of fun. That's all.
So anyway, so the circle jerk actually. M, I would say that using the word seminal is very apropos for the word the band Circle Jerks.
And group sex.
And Group Sex.
Yeah.
So anyways, they're going on the 45th anniversary tour of Group Sex. Negative Approach is opening. They're playing Canada, mostly West Coast, a little bit of Texas. I've seen the Circle Jerks like 5 times since they've reunited. They're awesome. I guess what's interesting is that they play all their songs like super fast now. Like really they play their songs almost as if they're off, which is kind of interesting to me. Which when they first reunited, they weren't doing that, but now they play the songs super duper fast. Like I don't know if they're just trying to get done quicker or they're like, let's really juice it up. I'm not sure. Group Sex, literally one of the best punk records of all time. But the question is they play most of the Group Sex songs live anyways. So does this tour make sense? And do you think they're going to do Group Sex all the way through? Or is this just kind of a title for a title? Brandon, what's your take?
It's another tough question. They've been doing they just did with 7 Seconds when they did that co-headlining tour. They played Group Sex in its entirety. They've done the album shows for it where they say they're gonna play it and they play it. It seems like just an extension of that. So it is a little strange to kind of slap the Group Sex 45th anniversary because it's just something that they had been doing. And again, I mean that album is like 24 minutes. So if they're playing it faster, it's going to be most of your set anyway. It could be more just like maybe a celebration of the band or an anniversary of the band, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a way to market it and get people to focus on, the seminal album.
Maddie, what band would you like to see play an album all the way through?
Can it be a dead person?
Yes. Why
I
you want to see the Ataris or something? No, I'm kidding.
no, I would love to see Figure Eight by Elliott Smith played in full. I love that record. I think it's so great. I love Elliott Smith. I'm a huge Elliott Smith fan, and I'm disappointed, obviously, I could never go to a show before he passed away. So that's definitely one for sure.
Well, maybe he'll get pressed into a record and then you can hear him anytime you want.
My God, that'd be crazy.
M, the Circle Jerks 45th anniversary tour.
Yes.
Sounds cool, or is this kind of just a confusing title that they're looking for an angle?
I think they're looking for an angle, unless there's going to be like a bunch of stuff come out with I think there's going to be a reissue. Is that
Well,
in the
the big reissue of the record was 3 or 4 years ago through Trust Records, who did do a most
right?
excellent job with the reissue. They remastered
Okay.
it. It sounds great. It comes with like 3 or 4 bonus tracks, which are demos, and it comes with the Ultra Deluxe booklet and everything with quotes from everybody from, Tony Hawk to Flea to Dave Grohl to Iggy Pop or whatever.
Maybe they'll have people out reading the what they wrote in the book.
The liner
That'd be
notes.
kind of fun. Yeah. Maybe they'll just kind of play the album a couple times.
Well,
just
actually,
rip
M,
through it.
that's more suitable than you might mention because if people the classic version of Circle Jerks Group Sex was out on Frontier Records, and of course, M, do you remember what was special about that record or that CD rather?
It had something. It didn't have an extra song, right?
No, it
That was
had
in
the
it.
same out. It had Group Sex on it twice.
Yeah,
So it
that's what it
had Group Sex
was.
on it twice straight through. So maybe they'll pay homage to the CD, just do the whole album twice straight through. I wouldn't mind. M, You can only see one band.
Okay.
Flag, Circle Jerks, yes, or Off. What do you pick?
Oh, that's tough. Okay. Are they doing like a full album thing, or is it just a regular set?
Flag is doing every Keith song, which is pretty much every song up until Damaged and some Damaged songs. Circle Jerks are doing all of Group Sex and Hits. Off is doing what they did on their final tour, all of the fourth album, and then 12 Greatest Hits.
I think Off.
Why?
Just because I think it would be like the most interesting show. I think Flag would kick ass, and I think Circle Jerks would kick ass, but I think there'd be more to the Off show, and I don't know why.
Brandon, what are you picking?
Just have that feeling.
Either Flag or Off, just because Circle Jerks have been torn now for a while. So I would probably, especially, I would say Off as well. But Flag would give it a run for its money because those songs are great.
See, if we're saying now, as in previous shows, I'm picking Flag because I was lucky enough to see Off in every tour. And I actually saw the final tour twice. And it was cool. I got to see it. I've seen Circle Jerks now a bunch of times. I've saw them in the original run and the re-up, which has been cool. Flag I've seen like 5 times. But man, like just when Keith Morris does those Black Flag songs, it just blows my brain out of my skull. So I'm picking Flag, especially since Greg Ginn has banned, essentially, or you could, you know, has made it illegal for Flag to release a live album, which I'm so annoyed by Greg Ginn for doing that. So I'm picking Flag. Maggie, do you have a preference, or would you rather see Elliott Smith?
No, I actually would also say Flag. I don't know all of the bands super well. One of my good friends, Logan, is super in to all this stuff, and I know he likes Black Flag. It's the same thing, right?
Hidden there, yeah.
He likes Black Flag, so I'm gonna go with Flag just because I trust him and his face.
Well, there we go. Maddie with the correct answer. We got a few more stories to hit. I'm gonna pull an Audible. Vinyl Me Please has filed. Well, the correct way to legally say it is Vinyl Me Please has entered ABC liquidation. Now, usually when something a company enters liquidation, that means they file for Chapter 7, which is a form of bankruptcy. In contrast, Vinyl Me Please has filed what's called an ABC, an assignment for benefit of creditors, which is kind of a state version of federal bankruptcy where a third party takes control of the company's assets and then pays off creditors less than the amount they're owed through the assets held by the company that is being liquidated. And those creditors include people that had vinyl subscription services, and they've got until, I think, October 1st to file a claim. The announcement was surprising but not surprising. It was not surprising that for the past few months, people have not been getting their Vinyl Me Please orders. And if you don't know, Vinyl Me Please, where you just pay them like $300 a year, whatever, and they just mail you whatever record they feel like in the mail. Like if you want rock records, they'll mail you like a rock record a month. Or if you want hip hop, they'll mail you a hip hop record a month or whatever. But it was a little surprising in that Vinyl Me Please was kind of in the music conversation until a couple months ago. People were talking about them a lot, and you do see like those deluxe Vinyl Me Please records for sale in places like Villagers Records, located in Milltown, New Jersey, off Main Street. For me, I mean, I guess the idea is kind of like, oh, you get a surprise record in the mail every month. But my position was always, and it's cool to get people excited about music and everything. My position was, well, if I'm going to spend $40 a month, I'd rather just buy the record I want, like not necessarily get like a repress of like Springsteen's Born to Run or something, you know, like I'd rather just pick the record myself. And so I was kind of surprised that this kind of thing took off and lasted as long as it did, but I guess it crashed and burned eventually. There are other vinyl subscription services. And we'll see how they last, I guess. But Brandon, were you surprised by this? And did you like the Vinyl Me Please idea, or did it seem unnecessary to you?
Definitely unnecessary. I was never too big into the subscription vinyl thing. I love getting people excited about music. If you have the spare change and you want to shop at record stores and get a random record a month, I get it. That's cool, you know. But much like you, you know, I'd just take that money and I would just bring it to a record store, or, you know, take it to go travel to find more records somewhere else, as opposed to just waiting for a record to show up and not even knowing what I'm getting.
Where's the furthest you've traveled to get a record?
Probably North Carolina.
What store is that? Is that the punk store down there?
Well, there was School Kids. Went down to there. Yeah.
Maddie, now you're a younger person. Do you like things like Vitamin Please because it maybe to introduce you into stuff that you don't know about? Or are you like Brandon and myself where you'd rather just take the money and buy the record you want?
I think again, when you're limited, when you have a limited amount of money, I think it's better to go and shop local. I'm always about you supporting local businesses, whether it's food, shopping, whatever it is. But I think the concept is really cool. I mean, I have always been keen on like those like surprise things. Like I think that's cool and that gives you something to look forward to every month. But I'm not surprised that it's gone down just because I think in the sense physical media subscription has been kind of tanking. Like magazines, like that's what I really think of is like when you get magazines in the mail. My parents got me a Billboard subscription for Christmas, and it was a huge hassle for them to try and get me the actual physical copies to come to the house because it's just not, I guess they don't print as many because not a lot of people want it anymore. So I think everything's just moving kind of digital. And me personally, I don't like that. I like having physical things, I think that's cooler. But yeah. That was a bit of a long answer, sorry. But yeah, I think it's a cool concept, but I would rather buy what I want, I think.
Well said, and more. Last Christmas, my cousin said her kids wanted Highlights magazine for Christmas, so I got them Highlights magazine. And I feel like they
Yes.
don't read it at all. And I feel like she just said that. So should I have ordered the Highlights magazine, even though I was pretty sure they weren't going to read it,
No.
or no?
No. I didn't know they still made highlights.
And what's your stance on Highlights magazine?
I used to love those when I was younger. My grandma actually used to buy me those subscriptions with like the you have to like find the items in like the picture or something. I remember I loved those, but yeah, I'm all for it if they're still doing it. I mean, I think it's cool.
Well, see, I like Highlights magazine because that's the reading level that I'm at right now. But Em, what's your stance on Highlights?
We had a giant stack of them in school. I don't remember, like, I think it was like grade 3 or something, but I'd never seen them before. And there were so many, and it was like everyone kind of like ran and tried to grab them and like read them and stuff. So it was always like a frenzy. But I remember them being
People
really
go crazy over
cool.
Highlights. I mean, people want Highlights
Yeah.
magazine app. Like, and Vinyl Me Please. Are you surprised? Would you have liked it, or where do you stand on the end of Vinyl Me Please?
I'm kind of surprised it existed in the first place. I think it's an interesting idea. Like it reminded me of that thing where it was like send in a dime and we'll send you 10 cassettes
Well, see,
kind
that
of
was rad.
thing.
First of all, that was rad. I had Columbia House. No, I had BMG. That was rad as hell because I never did this, but what people don't realize that if you're under 18, there's nothing a debt collector can do to you. Nothing. So if you're under 18, you should just like order a whole bunch of them and never pay. There is nothing they can do to you. They can't even file a credit report against you, but too bad that era is over. Second, that is how I got into punk rock because when I first got into BMG Music Club, they had like literally like 3 second clips of music, and I wanted like an 80s band, and so I put in like 80s music, and it popped up the Clash box set for some reason, and I clicked on Rock the Casbah, I think. And if you take 3 seconds of Rock the Casbah, it does sound kind of 80s, you know? So I ordered the Clash box set for like $15, which at the time was like a $75 box set, and I've been into punk rock ever since then. Anyways, Vinyl Me Please.
It worked.
It works. And
So like, yeah.
here's my first BMG music order. This is what I got with my 8 pennies or whatever. I
Nice.
got Simpsons Sing the Blues. I got Beastie Boys Paul's Boutique. I got Beastie Boys Check Your Head. I got Beastie Boys Root Down. I got Beastie Boys El Communication. I got Rush's Greatest Hits 1. I got Rush's Greatest Hits 2. And I don't know if I can remember what the eighth. Oh, my eighth choice was like the worst thing ever.
Oh
Kiss
no.
Live Acoustic. It was terrible.
Ew.
It was bad. Go ahead, Em.
I thought it was gonna be all Steely
Yeah,
Dan.
Steely Dan.
So you
And
know,
who's
like
worse, Steely Dan or Kiss Acoustic?
Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Secret third option. Like with the Vinyl Me Please thing, if it was something like the Columbia House where like you got a bunch of stuff, it would make a lot more sense rather than just kind of like one record. Cause $40 is a lot of money. You can like that can buy you a lot of food. That can see you through like, a little bit. So I think, like, kind of to echo Brandon and Maddie's point there, like the going and like spending it locally, and then you're like involved in the community, you're seeing different things, like you're actually able to pick what you want instead of like, I got, you know, Engelbert Humperdinck smash hit Stahum, you know, and what am I supposed to do with this? Like, you know, now I can go and get something that is actually going to be a bit more meaningful.
And what's up with the stray shot on poor Engelbert Humperdinck? What did he ever do to you?
Oh, nothing. That was I used to read Bloom County all the time, and one of the records that Otis gets is Engelbert Humperdinck smash hits to hum, and that was the only thing that came to my mind.
Well, there you have it. Let's do a couple quick more stories. I'm gonna jump around a little bit. Fishbone is putting out a new
Yeah.
record. Actually, I am a big Fishbone fan. It's coming out June 27. It's called Stockholm Syndrome, and of course, it follows the band having a massive infighting conflict and splitting with Norwood Fisher. Em, are you excited for this? Did you like the last EP and the title Stockholm Syndrome? Do you feel that's related to the band splitting with Norwood? And do you think there's ever going to be a reunion, or do you think it's totally shattered? And am I going to have a great time
Yes.
seeing Bootsy Collins at Punk Rock Bowling with Angelo backing him up?
Yeah, for that's gonna kick ass. That's gonna be so good.
That is going to kick ass.
I do think they're going to have a reunion at some point. The single that they released for this is Last Call in America. It has George Clinton on it. And in that post, like they have the new lineup there. So it's Angela Moore, Christopher Dow, James Jones, Hassan Hurd, John Williams II, and Trace Singleton. I would not doubt that the name has something to do with the inner band turmoil kind of thing. But I think that I liked the EP that they released, like the self-titled, but I think there might have been something holding them back. And I think this album is going to be shedding a lot of that. And I think they're going to kind of get back into touch with themselves and what they want to do. So that would be my kind of two cents on that.
And you sort of explained this to me before, but I still don't. I always thought Angelo was the main fishbone, but is that not, is Angelo not the main fishbone?
I think it's like shared between Angelo and Christopher Dowd.
Does he
I
sing
think they
too?
share it. He sings on, oh, what's the name of the song? He sings on some of the songs.
So I mean, like, so is it
What's it
like
called?
a,
1 minute.
is it like a Mick Jones, Joe Strummer situation, or like. Like, is there a fishbone without Angelo? Is the first question.
I don't think so. But
Is
I
there a
also don't
fishbone?
think there's a fishbone without Chris Dowd. I think they're like a package deal kind of thing.
Is there a fishbone without
Let's see.
Norwood?
I think
Like,
so.
is Norwood like the George Harrison of the group?
Maybe.
Who's the John Lennon of the group?
That's really tough to say. I'm not sure. 'Cause like
That's a very weak answer, Em.
No,
Do
I don't know.
you not know the Beatles? Have you heard of the band The Beatles?
No, I've never heard of the Beatles,
Okay.
really.
Well, so who's the Mick Jagger of the group?
Okay, well, see, that's I think Angelo is the Mick Jagger and Christopher Dowd is the Keith Richards, because you can't have Rolling Stones without either of them.
And so then is Norwood like the Bill Wyman, the bass player that like is gone and people kind of forgot about?
Maybe.
Ah, okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah.
Brandon, Fishbone, do you care? Are you excited about this? Is the title clearly a reference to internal fighting from last year?
It's got to be a reference. I hope that they shed whatever was holding them back. I think with everything being settled now, it kind of gives them the freedom to do that. I know with the new album, they're going on tour now. I think they're on tour with Lesson Jake and Suicide Machines. So, surrounding yourself on a tour like that. It's something to look forward to. I think I'll probably find myself. I think that tour is going to Starland, so I'll probably find myself there. Like, I'm a fan of all three of those bands, so that should be fun. But yeah, it's definitely a reference, I would think, to the turmoil.
And let's see here. One last news story. I'm looking up tour dates real quick, but I can't see that. Oh, here we go. Also, Fishbone, Suicide Machine, Bite Me Bambi, and M. Who's the other band on the bill?
Isn't it Less Than Jake?
No, it's Catbite. Come on, M. Come on. Catbite, the best new ska
Oh.
band. Less
Yeah,
Than Jake.
their new record's so
Is
good.
Catbite not on with the Less Than Jake tour?
They well, Catbite is like on tour forever for like so.
That's
The
true.
less the oh no, I'm sorry. It's less than oh, I'm totally wrong. Less Than Jake, Fishbone, Suicide Machines, Bite Me, Bambi, and Catbite. Yes,
There
there.
we go.
So there we go. And they're playing Philadelphia on June 13th. So I will be there. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Rad. One last story. Green Day. They are doubling down on their 7-Eleven lockup, Lincoln. They've been selling their coffee in 7-Eleven, which is called Punk Bunny. It used to be called Oakland Coffee Company. Now it's called Punk Bunny. Well, they're expanding the beverage market into Slurpee flavors. They are now releasing the Kerplunk Slurpee flavor. And if you get at 7-Eleven right now, you get a fancy little Green Day drinking cup with it. And at first, I'm always back and forth on Green Day. And at first, I'm like, okay, Green Day, real punk. You're just partying up at 7-Eleven, like a giant, like megacorp distributor. But on the other hand, there's so many other bands, M, that do way worse thing than selling Slurpees. So I gotta give Green Day
Yeah.
two thumbs up on this one. If they want to sell Slurpees and people want to buy Green Day Slurpees, who is that hurting, M? Who is that hurting? So I'm giving this two thumbs up, M. Where do you stand on the Green Day Slurpee?
I want to know what it tastes like. Because it's a really cool shade of green. I want to know what the flavor is. The cup does look cool, and the Punk Bunny type on the cup looks like Punk News font.
Yeah, that's it. Does does it? That's not cool. We gotta sue them.
Say.
That is not cool. Let me look at this thing. You're
We're
totally right.
taking
I didn't
whose
think about
people has
this.
to get into touch with whose people?
Exactly.
It does it. It looks
Green
a lot.
Day.
It looks a lot like the Punk News font. It's almost identical. It is identical. The P is identical, and the PUNK is identical.
Did they do it? Did they actually rip us off?
I think they did.
I think they owe you guys a show at least.
What?
Yes.
And why did
Yes.
you
And
register
Slurpees.
Yeah.
I told him to? They definitely ripped us off. That's crazy. It's identical, Em. Identical. It's the same font and everything.
Yeah, I saw it and I'm like, it looks suspiciously similar.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Wow. Ripped off by Green Day again.
Wow.
Anyways, Brandon and Maddie, the Green Day Icy Slurpee. Are you guys into it? Will you drink it?
Oh, not after they jacked your font, no. No, I mean, I'm hit or miss like you with Green Day. I love Green Day growing up. I love the earlier stuff and all that. So, I mean, it's cool if they get the little Green Day cup with it, which is awesome. You can kind of throw with your other Green Day stuff if you're a collector. I'll try it, you know?
Yeah, I do love Green Day. I'm a big fan of all their stuff. So yeah, I will be trying it. I had no idea this was even a thing until Brandon was showing me today, and I was like, "Ooh, well, I know what I'm doing later."
So I see that the cup has the TM on it, which means it's not registered. I'm gonna see if they've got a trademark application pending, and then maybe we can challenge it. No trademark application pending. Ah, wait. They do have a trademark application pending, but not with the font, just with the name itself, not with the font.
Ooh, interesting.
Gonna have to find a way to make a deal.
What if we sued Green Day, Em? What if we sued Green Day? But why? But why would we, Em? Because we don't technically own Punk News. So what's in it for us?
Don't. Notoriety. You
Well,
gotta be those people that sued Green Day.
Exactly. We'd have our own section on the Wikipedia page.
all the
Green Day
fans
was.
prior to Dookie would love us.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll write Albin again, like seriously, and say, listen, man, Well, anyway,
Trademark
listen.
the font.
Well,
They
you
did
actually
all this
am.
just in time for they're doing that Saviors Deluxe next week, and I think is coming out. So all this kind of marketing with that kind of all, goes together, it
Oh.
seems.
Maybe my opinion of Billy Joe is changing rapidly now that he stole our font. Should we come out with like an EP called Billy Joe Stole Our Font? Is that like a good EP, you think? Anyways.
That would be funny.
It's been a true pleasure to have Brandon and Maddie of Revilla Grooves Records on the show. Of course, Revilla Grooves Records in Milltown, New Jersey. Fantastic. Revilla Grooves and Gears, rather. Revilla Grooves and Gear. 126 North Main Street, Milltown, New Jersey, 08850. You can call them, 732-447-3149. Here's their hours, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. most days of the week, except Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Go in and say hi to Brandon. Go in and say hi to the other Brandon. Go in and say hi to Darren and have a good old time buying records from Revilla Grooves Records. Brandon and Maddie, any closing words that you'd like the people to know about the store or anything else or about stealing fonts?
Definitely don't steal fonts and make a whole campaign behind it the day that we have a podcast set up. It'll be exposed. If any of the information you get that they're looking for about the store, we're on all social media, mainly Instagram right now, and then soon the website will be up to date. Keep an eye out there.
Thank you guys for having us. Thanks for letting me pop in too. I know I was an unexpected visitor, but thank you guys so much.
The Instagram is Revilla Grooves on it. It's just Revilla Grooves on Instagram. Yep. Brandon, very last question. What should be my strategic approach when I enter Revilla Grooves? Where do I go first? What do I look at? How do I flip through? What should be my modus operandi?
Well, especially since the expansion, it's almost like kind of like two sections of the store now. So when you first walk in, it's all the used stuff that we've taken in recently through collection. So it's all the new arrivals being like the used stuff that's either walked through our door or we went out and purchased. So you'll find a lot of cool, good used stuff up front. And then if you're looking for any of the new releases, reissues, or just any more things that are modern, you just head to the back area. That's where all the turntables, the speakers, the receivers are. That's where you'll find the stage. CD. So we now have a bigger used CD section. So I would say, you know, if you're looking for cool used new stuff, the rare stuff that's on the walls, you're going to hit the front of the store first. And then any of the new releases or the parties that we have, that's all in the back.
Well, there you have it. And I got to say, Revilla Grooves really is an absolutely fantastic shop. I love it. I get up there as often as I can, which is about six times a year, and it's rad as hell. Anyways, Maddie and Brandon, thanks for coming on the show. Thank Revilla Grooves and Gears, sponsors of Summer Soiree 8, July 31, The Dwarves and Schoolie D. And I hope to see Brandon, and I hope to see Maddie down there. I also hope to see you, the listener, down there. And thanks again for coming on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John.
Thank you for having us.
Good seeing you.